I have returned.
The stream shall run in gladness, the lake shall shine and burn, all sorrow, fear, and sadness at the mountain king's return.
Well. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of Ken's Corner. Tonight, I have a very special guest. In fact, you haven't seen him in a while. I do have, in fact, Ken Smith. You've been gone a long time.
How are you doing, Jake?
Welcome, my friend.
I know.
Very nice.
I'm attached to devices, so.
Attached to devices, but kicking.
Yes, but kicking. I have 35% of my heart left, so I guess God wants to keep me around. So I was wondering if I was going to kick it, but I'm not.
Well, my friend, a third of your heart is more heart than most of the world, because God gave you a heart of flesh and blood.
Man. Yeah. So as long as I'm here, let's go. Let's get it done. You know, I just want to thank everybody, man. I mean, I had so many people to thank and share. I didn't even do a list this week. I just too many to list. And I read every comment, you know, for the last 3 weeks with Marco and stuff like that. So everybody that was praying, I could actually feel your prayers. I'm not a super charismatic person, you know, but I actually felt the prayers. I actually did. I really felt a joy. I felt a comfort. I felt very, very comforted. So thank you so much, everybody. Thank you.
While Giving Ken is still recovering, I will go ahead and, since it's tradition.
Oh, you can!
Perfect.
Yeah, that's good. That's
no
good,
one
yeah.
expected that one, I bet.
No one expected that one. Exactly. No one expected that one.
So I do have an announcement, though, Ken. Guess what? We are on your favorite site. We are live streaming and will be live streaming this show every time we record on Twitter.
Twitter. X. Yes. 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 You put out live
stream. You get to catch the show early.
Oh, wow. You can catch it live.
You can catch it live. And I might even answer some chats or questions.
Yeah.
Depending if they're really good.
But yeah, definitely.
But if you're a Russian bot, I'm going to have to report you.
Oh, man.
Now, Ken, talk to me about that beautiful t-shirt that you have.
We're back to the shirts. Yes. So this is my, I might have worn one like this already, but this is my actual dog. This is Malibu. And she's got tons of, it's on a company called Incopious. Incopious, sorry, Incopious. And they approached my wife and to use Malibu on several. If you go onto their website, you put in Malibu, you know, it'll come up. They have a lot of different dogs that won contests and stuff like that, but they wanted to use Malibu because you got huge Instagram and all this stuff. But I got five or six shirts that have my dog on there. So that's it. So
nice.
Yes.
Well, in other news, we have to start and begin with the show, or else we'll never get through it all. Let's talk a little bit about Kathy Hochul, who happens to be a very good friend, I hear, of the mayor there, I believe. So, if I'm not mistaken, she said that she needs to ramp up surveillance.
Now, yes,
I just have a question.
On social media. Yeah.
TikTok? And other venues like that?
I don't know. But she said that, you know, and we expect this more and more. As the Lord's return gets closer, we expect this type of stuff. It's gonna get really, really hairy. But New York Governor Kathy Hochul cited a rise of pro-Palestinian rallies taking place across New York City. She said, this is beginning to impact the way New Yorkers interact with one another. So online, But our social media analysis union has ramped up its monitoring of sites to catch incitements to violence, direct threats, and direct threats to others. She noted that residents across New York are living in fear since October 7th, the Hamas invasion of Israel. But also, Senator Josh Hawley is calling for a ban to TikTok over an alleged rise in pro-Hamas content on the platform. And I talk about TikTok a little bit later. I get into a real serious, you know, talk about what's going on. They just had a big vote in the House and all this stuff. But we wrote TikTok and its parent. He wrote, TikTok and its parent company, ByteDance, are threats to American national security. And more on TikTok later. So Hawley goes, also noted, young people who use the app as a news aggregator will overwhelmingly encounter pro-Palestinian content, which could influence their impressions of the circumstances of the war. So just keeping an eye on that and keeping an eye on New York and also L.A., you know. And then also Georgia. Georgia is going crazy, too, with the Fannie Willis thing. And we talk about that, too, a little later.
Absolutely. You know, if Kathy Hochul were my governor, I would feel a lot safer with social media being monitored and surveilled because she's kind of scary. Yeah. Wasn't she the one that said that you can only be Christian if you decided to get a medical procedure that was kind of mandated?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, that was it. Yeah, she actually talked at that church, and well, if you want to call it a church, yeah, she. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It's interesting. So social media to monitor direct threats to others in New York, as if we didn't already have the NSA, the FBI, and the CIA already doing that anyway.
Yeah, the alphabet companies are already there, guys. Sorry. So
let's throw in some NYPD in the better, Joe.
Yeah, sorry to break it to you guys. No. Yep.
Now, this next one, we have a video. It's an announcement from one of my favorite Haitians on the planet. All right? This is, I believe, if I am correct in saying she is one of my favorite Haitians.
And now, if you give me another moment here, I also want to address a heartbreaking development in the tragic loss of Nex Benedict. For parents across the country, and I know for many of you here and some of you watching, including myself, the cause of Nex's death was devastating to learn. As the president said yesterday, every young person deserves to have the fundamental right and freedom to be who they are and feel safe and supported at school and in their communities. Bullying is completely unacceptable, and it is on all of us to take reports of bullying seriously. There's always someone you can talk to if you're going through a hard time and need support. The president and his administration launched the 988 line to help, and we have a line dedicated to serving LGBTQI+ young people that can be reached by dialing 988 and pressing 3. I want to close by saying that LGBTQI+ young people across the country, you are loved exactly as you are, as the president has made very clear. And you should know this, the Biden-Harris administration has your back. Now, this morning, the president released a statement marking the International Day to Combat Islamophobia. In his statement, the president recognized the violence and hate that Muslims worldwide too often face because of their religious beliefs and the ugly resurgence of Islamophobia in the wake of the devastating war in Gaza. Put simply, Islamophobia has no place in our nation. That's why in 2022, the president asked his team to establish an interagency policy committee to counter anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and related forms of bias and discrimination. We are also currently drafting the first ever national strategy to combat Islamophobia and related forms of bias and discrimination. And we want to continue to implement the national strategy to counter anti-Semitism amidst the serious increase in anti-Semitism and to advance the White House initiative on hate-motivated violence. Put simply, we are taking concrete steps to make real for all Americans the promise of America. and we affirm our commitment to do all we can to put an end to the vicious hate of Islamophobia here at home and around the world.
Now, I'm not saying anything that I, you know, I just think that she needs to attend more barbecues in her homeland, perhaps.
Yeah.
This is nuts, Ken, because let me get this straight. Wasn't it our president, our current president, that decided? Now, was this part of his withdrawal from Afghanistan because of Islamophobia? He wanted to make sure young girls in Afghanistan would again be put in, head to toe face coverings, would not be able to learn how to read, and would have acid attacks against them if they decided to, you know, go against the grain of a patriarchy society.
Exactly. And he's relating this next Benedict thing. He relates the two, you know, the total prejudice and total, you know, the total, you know, Islamophobia or LGBTQ plus IABCDEFGHIJK, whatever, you know.
At this point, I think, does this particular government think that to combat Islamophobia, should we just put them in every country? I think it's time we went with Sharia law across the board, around the world. Yep. That would end Islamophobia, I think, permanently.
Yep. And then it'll transfer over to the LGBTQRSTUVWXIZ.
Well, not really, because they'll be thrown off of roofs.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah.
There will be no more issue with the LGBTQ.
I don't think you get it. I don't think
they'll be unalived.
They'll be unalived.
Not that we call, because we're Christians, we don't call for violence against anyone.
Yeah.
Let us be clear. Yes. But under Sharia law, forgive me if I'm overstating it, but not so much tolerating of that, you know, the rainbow flag coalition with the LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Not really so.
And this thing that we kind of went off on the Muslim aspect, that was the end of it. Mm-hmm. I forgot that she had put that in there. And so, but the next Benedict thing that she started with, it's an Oklahoma trans girl that committed suicide. There's actually two parts to this story that I'm going to go over. But and here's what Biden said, or whoever runs his Twitter posted about it. In memory of next, we must all recommit to our work to end discrimination and address the suicide crisis impacting too many non-binary and transgender children. Children, really? So I remember the State of the Union where he had to be reminded of this is the two part to the second part of the story of Lake and Riley's murder. Remember by the illegal
alien? No, right? I'm sorry. The president specifically said Lincoln Riley. Okay.
Yeah. He even said her name wrong. It's crazy.
Oh,
but he downplayed the murder in order to buttress his open borders. But when the troubled, confused young girl commits suicide, it's time to blame that generalized, you know, and on generalized conservative opposition to gender theory. So, and before I tell you what Matt Walsh said, I just want to put up the second video on what they think the immigration crisis is all about and what they say put up the Mayorkas video.
Ah, the Mayorkas video.
And I'd like to understand from you what Trump era immigration policies have been banned, ended, reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you.
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
Well, so thank you.
And that's why the crisis, and that's, yeah. and I mean, so I'm telling you, here's Matt Walsh, what he said about Biden. This man is a despicable, soulless monster, truly an evil scumbag who makes this country a worse place every day. Next Benedict death had absolutely nothing to do with discrimination. That was a completely invented false narrative that has been definitely debunked. Yet this decaying goblin promotes it anyway. Meanwhile, he can't even bring himself to say Lake and Riley's name correctly. What a hunk of moldy garbage this man is. But after the State of the Union, you know, Biden was apologizing to after calling Lincoln Riley's killer illegal, right? Oh. Which is what he is. He's actually a gang. He's one of the gang members from Venezuela.
I think I have a picture of that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yes. Yes.
The Cane Goblin, huh?
Yeah, that's Matt, it.
I very seldom agree with Matt Walsh, but the Cane Goblin. But, very good description.
I just would like to know how a random rainbow person could rise to the level of official White House statement, and while Biden can't even say Lincoln Riley's name correctly, and apologize over and over for calling her killer illegal. So he actually said illegal in the State of the Union. So, but it's crazy
truth has its way of finding itself back into the mainstream every once in a while, even if it is by mistake.
But you want to see how the left thought about, you know, the you know, you can play that last video on what Pelosi and Schumer think about illegals.
Oh, man. What Pelosi and Schumer think about illegals? That must be.
I don't even know how long ago this was.
We need to address the issue of immigration and the challenge we have of undocumented people in our country. We certainly don't want any more coming in.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced that we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we will make no progress on dealing with the millions of illegal immigrants who are here now and on rationalizing our system of legal immigration. When we use phrases like undocumented workers, we convey a message to the American people that their government is not serious about combating illegal immigration, which the American people overwhelmingly oppose. If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong. People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
Wow.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
That sounds like Orange Man Bad right there.
Yes. That would be considered crazy talk right now.
Wow.
Oh, that was straight up. So yeah,
people are ridiculously low intelligence when it comes to when you play things like that, and they listen to what Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi say in the past. Well, they're the only option we have. The other option is too unthinkable to even consider.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll forgive them if they were to say, you know, we should kill every single illegal that comes across the border. If Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi said that, they would still default back to, well, yeah, at least they're better than the Orange Man.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's it. The whole thing is it's just nuts.
It's nuts. It's crazy. All right. I'll tell you what's crazy. Our next story.
Yeah.
Venezuelan killer that killed Lincoln Riley, as many know, was let out of prison and sent to the United States of America.
Yeah. Yeah. The Venezuelan killers, the gang members, and they're heading to the U.S. after they're released from prison. I mean, that it's nuts. Some of Venezuela's most violent criminals, but they've been released from prison, and the U.S. officials have warned they could be headed to the United States, and they're already in here, you know, basically. And New York PD warned that there's a gang called the Tren de Aragua gang is responsible for dozens of robberies and terrorizing residents in New York City. But those released, including convicted killers, drug dealers, members of the infamous Tren de Aragua, and who's Lincoln Riley's killer, an illegal immigrant, Jose Ibarra, was a member of. He was a member of Tren de Aragua. And an immigration attorney in Miami has warned Americans about the dangers that are headed this way. He says these killers, quote unquote, these are killers. These are career criminals, and Americans need to know they're coming to the border. So,
yes. And related to that story, I have a brand new story that just came in. Maduro, for his contribution to taking down Venezuela's crime rate, is on track to be Time Magazine's 2024 Man of the Year, along with the Alfred Nobel Society considering him for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, man. You got a picture of him?
We do not have a picture in the live, but in the edited version, if you want to come back, I have a very nice picture of Maduro's consideration cover.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Now,
that's
awesome. As we import in the North American continent, we are not only importing, let's say, illegals, but criminals from Venezuela. The police of both America and Canada are giving new suggestions how you can be proactive in preventing crime in the future. In fact, I believe we have a video. Let me go ahead and play that. This is a video of a safety meeting by, is it the Toronto Police Association?
I'm not too sure if this is. Yeah, I think this is, because that's where the most of the crime is.
All right, here we go. These are the new things that we should all do to make sure we're safe from criminals, especially criminals coming from Venezuela.
There's also updated advice for all vehicle owners, a message echoed by Toronto police speaking at an Etobicoke safety meeting last month. Constable Marco Ricciardi had a new message for vehicle owners who keep their fobs in Faraday pouches.
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. Because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else. A lot of them that they're arresting have guns on them, and they're not toy guns, they're real guns. They're loaded.
That's why Galinsky says they will be installing the door stops and taking YPR's advice seriously. But she'd like more action from police as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
the people
that we
buy guns for, they basically have toy guns.
They say real guns.
The people that are supposed to protect the Canadian citizens, the American citizens, well, they're too busy getting, I don't know, extra boosts of soy that they can't they can't stand hearing that gun pop.
This is absolutely insane. So to prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your key fob at the front door. So, one car is stolen every 6 seconds in Canada. So it's crazy. The best the police can do is the new recommendation to residents: let the thieves steal your car. That's crazy. That's auto theft has gotten so bad in Toronto that people have left notes on their car windows to inform would-be thieves that the doors were unlocked, hoping that the windows wouldn't be smashed in. So the increased lawlessness will probably get to insane levels, and this is just the beginning. And if you defend yourself and succeed, they will probably put you in jail. So Maranatha, it's just crazy.
Absolutely. Ken, they do have a new video out on home defense. It's called Macaulay Culkin's Home Alone, where he teaches you how to keep thieves and bandits out of your house.
That's awesome. That's an awesome movie.
It's a very hot seller right now this time of year.
That's a great movie, man.
All right. Now, let's talk about this story. This, again, we're having a wonderful, hardworking people coming up from Venezuela, and we're doing our best because right now they have to go through some pretty tough topographical, issues. So,
jungle.
It's jungle. It's rivers. Land that can kill them. In fact, I've seen some of the reports where you see tents with skeletons in them because people die, trekking through the jungle. But do not be worried. There's a new global highway for the Darien Gap, 66 miles of pavement to make the transport of migrants from South America more efficient. Talk to me a little bit about that, Ken.
So, they're building a highway, and it will be a global catastrophe. It's going to be a global. As Michael Young, now you guys need to follow Michael Young. If you have a Twitter account or X account, I suggest you follow Michael Young, Y-O-N, Michael Young. And he stated, quote unquote, "This is war. You are at war." As if the full-scale invasion of America across the southern border wasn't serious enough already, more routes are now being opened between Colombia and Panama that will enable even more illegal aliens to make their way to the U.S. through the Darien Gap. Remember when I reported on Michael Young? So he's a war correspondent, and he's an expert on weaponized migration. I began to report on the secretive construction of bridges and the new road deep inside. It's a dense 66-mile jungle region, and it's in the Darien. But Jan said a clear path between Panama and Colombia has been envisioned. So for decades, the dangerous Darien Gap jungle region between two disconnected highways has served as a buffer against the human invasion to the north. Just a few years ago, 200 or so people crossed the Darien Gap. Now it's more like 3,000 a day. So back when Biden was elected, so the Darien Gap was a narrow ant trail at the time. Now it's a main line of attack. And we cannot write a single truthful sentence about this invasion by calling it migration, Jan said. We know that some of the invaders have known ties to the PLA, People's Liberation Army in China, and are even members of elite special forces. So I'm going to quote Jan. Here's four of Jan's great quotes. He's predicting stuff. Quote, a tipping point approaches and coming famine will spread. Another quote, if I were trying to deindustrialize Europe and wipe out the West and Japan, I would do all of these things. Another quote, the United States is flying below the peaks and the global crash will be massive. Last quote, if this migration continues, America and Europe will be wiped out and become a faded memory. So remember what I was saying. So he always says pandemic, famine, and war go together. He always said that. So stay in fervent prayer, folks. You know, our leaders are being controlled by Satan. It's just crazy how we're being judged. I'll say that over and over again.
Meanwhile, in Congress, the Democrats are looking for a way to commit U.S. highway funds to this superhighway to gather more voters for their roles. Wait, I'm sorry, that's fake news. I made that up. It just seems like something that they would do.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I was like, what?
This next story is also very interesting in the fact that Russia claims it's killed 6,000 foreign fighters in Ukraine, mm-hmm. including 491 Americans. However, Vladimir Putin and the Russian government cannot confirm the gender or political association of the 491 dead Americans.
Of course, no, they can't. Anyway, the Russian Defense Ministry issued a report this past week that said its forces have killed almost 6,000 foreign mercenaries and volunteers fighting on behalf of Ukraine. The report said that in total, 13,387 foreign mercenaries from multiple dozens of countries have fought in Ukraine. Notably, Russia claims an astounding number of American mercenary deaths, 491. Britain had 360, and Canada had 422. The Polish foreign fighters were by far the largest group killed at 1,497. So all the Western fighters were openly encouraged to volunteer to fight through online advertising, including social media and large platforms like Facebook. At the beginning, you know, all the Western fighters, they were posting all this stuff. However, the war tragically turned into a meat grinder. And as it did, Western officials seemed to back off their encouragement for individuals to travel to Ukraine to fight. So at the beginning, you know, an example of the headline early in the war, Reuters, U.S. citizen travel to Ukraine to help in the war efforts. Quote, Ukrainians have inspired the world. So that was a quote from the beginning. So this article caught my eye because I contracted for a company out of South Africa when I was young and dumb. So it just caught my eye. But yeah.
Wow. Mystery, a secret history of Ken.
Yes.
Are you really the Moon Knight?
I'm the Moon Knight. Yes, I am.
You know, I really like that. That comic book before Disney Plus got their hands on it.
Well, my gosh, they ruin everything.
Yeah, that's Disney. You expect that. Moving on, I wanted to talk a little bit about this next story, which is, you know, we've talked about migrants killing people. We talked about super highways of bringing more in. We've talked about Russians killing people. So something on a lighter note, something that should make everybody just chuckle a little bit.
Yeah, the first talk about story, God.
Oh man, you're just the downer. But
downer. And here's
got a good one. So a Jeopardy contestant loses the quiz show on a question from the Bible, which wouldn't be an issue. There's biblical literacy is a dying thing for sure.
Yes.
However, this contestant happens to be an ordained pastor who went to school to be able to preach and teach out of the Bible.
Yes. Yes. His Episcopal priest, an Episcopal priest competing in Jeopardy, failed to advance after being stumped by a question on the New Testament. So Pastor David Silby, if you want to call it a church, it's an LGBTQ affirming St. Paul's Episcopal Church contestant. He previously competed in 2022, where he won $79,098 through four straight episodes. But during that contest, he failed to answer a $1,000 question, which is a top, you know, goes 500, 300, he goes all the way up to 1,000. And the question was that he failed. So he failed two questions, biblical questions. This was the first time. It's the ascension heavenward by true Christians, both living and dead, at Christ's second coming. So rather than buzz in and say, what is a rapture? He passed on it. So he later explained in Reddit that, here's the thing, I don't believe in the rapture. So he got invited back. And however, during his recent match, he was never in serious contention. A competitor took, you know, an early insurmountable lead. But during the final Jeopardy, the category was New Testament again, and contestants were asked, this city now in Turkey is the addressee of one of the New Testament epistles and setting for the Comedy of Errors. And I got it right, Teal. Sibley guessed Corinth. And the correct answer is, what is Ephesus? So, yeah. So I just thought it was a funny story.
Wait, once again, I don't want to be too much of a, you know, naysayer, but okay, that's not really a theological question at that point, isn't it?
I don't know.
Corinth is in Greece.
Yeah.
Ephesus is in Turkey.
Yes. So, yes.
You know, basic. So
that's what I'm saying. That's the whole thing. Corinth is in Greece. Mm-hmm. You know, and he answered Corinth. It says this city now in Turkey is an address. I mean, it said, so that's, you know, one of the seven churches, like, right?
I was about to say, it kind of gave away. I mean.
Yes. Yes.
Never mind.
Yes. Totally. Gave it away right there.
I'm glad I am not Episcopalian. Because, man.
I'm glad you're not Episcopalian too. Yeah.
All right. Again, this is another church matter.
Yes.
One, unfortunately, we're going to have to, it's not a good story.
Yeah. You go back.
Biden. Yeah. Biden, anything about Biden for the most part is a downer.
Debbie Downer. Yeah.
Biden has decided that he will evacuate bureaucrats. He will evacuate Haitians that want to become citizens, refugees.
Yeah.
But, you know, missionaries, supposedly they have, you know, a connection with the big guy. The real big guy, not him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're on their own.
Yeah.
But as far as bureaucrats and refugees and other people, yeah, we'll take them. But when it comes to saving people or missionaries in Haiti, not so much.
No. You guys talked about this on Catching Up. I just had a little bit extra detail. But, Biden evacuated bureaucrats, but has left American missionaries to die in Haiti. So gangs are roaming the streets unimpeded by any sort of rule of law. The current prime minister has left the country and has been assured death if he returns by the de facto leader, a gang chief called Barbecue, because he burns his enemies alive. Joe Biden's White House evacuated bureaucrats from the American embassy in Haiti's capital. But don't expect the administration to do anything about Christian missionaries stuck in the country. So Jill Dolan, this story kind of got me. Jill Dolan, who runs an orphanage called Love a Neighbor, said that she's not getting any help out of the country. Dolan said her and her family are trapped in a makeshift motel in the capital. And she said, this is a quote, dead bodies are piling up on the streets. We are on the front lines in a bad area. the gunfire never stops. And I don't know why this hit me, but I just want you to pray for Jill and her family. But, you know, in an update that I got, the State Department, U.S. not planning to evacuate Americans stuck in Haiti. This is an update. And Biden tells Americans trapped in Haiti, tough luck. We warned you. That's crazy. And meanwhile, Biden is arranging, you know, he's arranging airlifts of Haitian refugees to bring them into the United States. It's nuts. It's judgment.
Yeah, that's the only word I can call it. Yeah. To have Joe Biden in any position of power is pretty much judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing that I have to do, I actually have to thank God for, though, is that he is not an absolute power in the United States. His power only goes so far. In fact, this week in Biden, he actually had his hand slapped a little bit. He was trying to mandate to force Christian doctors to mutilate children in gender surgery. The federal court, however, has slapped him and said, nope, that's not something you can mandate.
Yep. Yep. It's crazy. Christian healthcare workers.
Little glimmer of hope there.
Yeah. Little glimmer. Yeah. But this is, yeah, so far there is a constitution working. But briefly, Christian healthcare workers cannot be forced to perform elective body disfiguring surgeries despite a mandate from the Biden administration. The court conclusion, if these protesting individuals had to comply with these mandates, they would have to violate their sincerely held religious beliefs, which is an impersonal, impermissible exercise under the First Amendment. So there's, and this is another quote, their sincerely held religious beliefs is that male and female are immutable realities defined by biological sex, and that gender reassignment is contrary to the Christian values. And they also stated, this was a good one, the employers we represent believe that God purposely created humans as either male or female, and so it would violate their religious belief to pay for or perform life-altering medical procedures or surgeries that seek to change one's sex. Amen, hallelujah, pass the mustard. That's it. That's awesome.
Little bit of a reprieve right now.
Amen. Yes.
Our next story deals with Boeing. In other news, I'm sure you already know this, so you've probably watched it on the other channels, but Boeing paid top dollar for assassination to shut up whistleblower. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Actually, my mistake. It was really suicide. Maybe.
Man. So the dead blowing whistleblower, if anything happens to me, it's not suicide. That's a quote before he died. So a close family friend of John Barnett said he predicted he might wind up dead and that the story would surface that he killed himself. He told her, whatever story you hear, do not believe it. I know that he did not commit suicide, said Jennifer, a close personal friend of Barnett's. There's no way. And Jennifer said they talked about the exact scenario playing out. Now, his words seem like a premonition. So, and this is another one. So another quote, I've known John my whole life. Our moms are best friends. Our families have been together for so many years. And Jennifer knew that Barnett failed an extremely damaging complaint against Boeing. He told her the aerospace giant retaliated against him when he blew the whistle on unsafe practices. He was a quality manager for over 30 years. So she asked him, are you scared? And he replied, nope, I ain't scared, but if anything happens to me, it's not suicide. And Jennifer added, I know that he did not commit suicide. There's no way. He loved his life too much. He loved his mom too much. He loved his brothers too much to put them through what they are going through right now. So,
I mean, common sense of any person that's working for any type of law enforcement should be whistleblower dead.
Yeah.
Who did he work for? How much money was at stake?
Yep. Yep. How much money? And there's a lot of money. And yeah, look at what the government did to subsidize all the airlines, you know, after the pandemic. It's crazy.
Just like, you know, anyone who creates a car that suddenly can run off of water seems to commit suicide that week or get into an accident.
Yeah. And that's been going on since what was it? The 20s or 30s was the first one. Yep. Might've been turn of the century. I mean, it's beyond. It's like right after gasoline, there was a water driven car in there. I know that Tesla, you know, all his stuff was confiscated. So yeah.
Nikola Tesla. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. All right. Well, we are going to this next story, which I'm going to go ahead and say, this is, might be a topic that YouTube won't like, but we're going to talk about it anyway. First of all, I gotta tell you up front that this might be medical misinformation. It might not. I don't know. But I do know that it's brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah. And all the rest of the companies.
Hypervaccinated men dosed 200 times.
Yeah.
They are desperately seeking to justify the medical overreach because guess what? They say he's fine.
He's fine. Yeah. 217 times. For personal reasons, for example, the people in the UK, they received a maximum of 7 jabs, but and he had no noticeable side effects. It's great. So scientists asked if they could study him. The man was vaccinated 217 times over a period of 29 months. He's a 62-year-old from Magdeburg, Germany, and had no signs of ever being infected with COVID-19 and had not reported any vaccine-related side effects. It's crazy. Academics have heard about the man in a newspaper report and asked if they could study his body. We invited him to undergo various tests, and he was very interested in doing so. So he took 8 different types of vaccines. So the research found his immune system was fully functional. But, I have just the opposite, story next. But that's just weird. That's 217 times, man.
Wow. You can get 217 different vaccines. Come on. Right. This is the type of person that you would put in a nut house about 5 years ago and say, okay, Napoleon, okay. Let's make you a nice little trifold hat with a newspaper. L'Emperor.
Long live the king. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's awesome.
Crazy. But you're right. The next story we're going to talk about, Ed Dowd and the premature death. They're mounting every single day, more and more.
Yep. And Ed Dowd testified on excess deaths. And he said, you can't hide the dead bodies. But one American insurance company, remember I reported on this, CEO Scott Davidson, in a Chamber of Commerce meeting, I've already said this, revealed that he had seen 40% excess mortality from 25 to 64-year-olds. He said a 10% increase would be a once in a 200-year flood or a 3 standard deviation event. 40% was off the charts. But excess death rates, that is so bad that the UK Office for National Statistics is changing its math methodology, which effectively downplays the real number of excess deaths. So excess deaths are undeniable. So there are still a lot of people in the insurance industry ignoring this phenomenon and don't even want to look at the vaccine issue. A lot of the CEOs who are mandated to get the jab themselves are in a state of denial. So they have raised prices in group life policies, so the losses are less now. So looking at Ed Dowd's data is indisputable. I know I covered this a while back. It's not going anywhere. I just wanted to revisit it. So.
Yep, absolutely. Crazy. Our next story, Washington Secretary of State, Washington State, is very concerned that the people in Washington are dangerous to the point where she is contracting an AI surveillance to use surveillance around the state to make sure that everybody is nice to each other. Logically AI is the name of the company.
Yeah.
And go ahead again.
So the weaponized AI will conduct mass surveillance ahead of the U.S. 2024 presidential elections. That's what they want to win the state. The state's AI is targeting journalists, conservative activists, and voters for narratives that the state finds problematic regarding election security and integrity following factual reporting and social media posts. Steve Hobbs, Democrat Secretary of State, entered into contract with the UK artificial intelligence company Logically AI, a controversial company that monitors social media accounts to identify harmful online narrative about election process. So Logical AI was used by the British government to censor its citizens on social media during the COVID-19 pandemic on claims of spreading misinformation about the virus. In other words, the truth, right? So officials have warned that Logically AI has the power to shape the 2024 presidential election. So critics also claim that the state's conduct is unconstitutional because it violates a person's right to freedom of speech. Also, basically, Logically AI acts as a censorship bot that targets social media users that have either questions or reported an election integrity. Journalists and individuals have been listed as narrative alerts if they report on illegal immigrants voting, question the integrity of mail-in ballots and voting machines, advocate for voter IDs, mention potential fundamental election activity, discuss dead people receiving ballots and their votes being counted, advocate for election transparency, and more. This is just the beginning of the crazy 2024. I need to report it because it's going to get wacko.
By the way, I do have something to add to your story. I recently looked up Logically AI's patent number with the U.S. patent number, and guess what? It's filed under a very interesting number. The patent number is Big Brother is Watching You.
Wow.
No,
wow. You got me again. That's awesome.
All right. 2023 infectious disease among migrants that are not screened and being bused around the country is a big deal.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
So, major measles outbreak reported in the U.S. after migrant shelter becomes infectious disease breeding ground. We all know that the radical progressives in the Biden administration are responsible for the greatest migrant invasion this nation has ever seen. So we also have an emerging public health crisis as millions of unvaccinated and undocumented illegals, some with infected with diseases, are being piled into migrant shelters nationwide like cattle. So Daily Mail is reporting that the U.S. is on the verge of a major measles outbreak with cases in the first 2 months of the year, eclipsing those in the previous whole year. It's important to recognize that migrant shelters are becoming breeding grounds for the spread of infectious diseases. None of the migrants were screened at the border for contagious diseases and were able to walk right over. Some were even flown in on airplanes, and others were bused into sanctuary cities by a shadowy network of taxpayer-funded governmental organizations. The open southern border is a major national security crisis and is quite literally a ticking time bomb about to go off, and it's quickly morphing into a public health crisis. Just wanted to report on that real quick.
Thank you, Ken. This next story, we have another video. Dan Crenshaw.
Yes.
Which is just a tale. Never trust a man with an eye patch.
Access to everything TikTok has, which means data on all Americans. And with data and with access to your, app that you're addicted to, you can vastly manipulate an entire population, which the Chinese have done.
Are you worried that our intelligence agencies are doing the same thing domestically?
Am I worried that? I know that they're not.
They're not manipulating Americans? They're not controlling the flow of information?
Yeah, did you have some evidence otherwise that you'd like to share?
I mean,
okay.
Before
that's you any serious questions?
Some ByteDance were to say fine.
Congressman, you asked for an example of the U.S. intelligence agencies meddling in our information. What about before the 2020 election when 50 members came out and said the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation? Does that count?
No, because, they were retired.
They were retired, the FBI had the laptop for over a year.
This is nothing even close to what TikTok.
Okay. I'm going to take his argument real quick on. Dan, Mr. Crenshaw, Congress, you respect. The United States has been pumping out, let's go ahead with racism via the 1619 Project, via, LGBTQ rights. This toxic stew has been pumping out of the West for nigh on 30 years. And yet when China does a little bit of, girls doing a little bit of a jiggle, you want to ban it. Well, how about if you're really concerned about countries influencing other countries, we should shut down CNN, Fox, and every major news, and also get rid of corporations like Disney, Paramount, yep. and studios. Because guess what? They have an agenda to drive yep. their values around the world and their globalist transhuman values.
Yep. Yep. It's all part of the end times, though. But they want to shut down TikTok. And it's funny, 90% of conservatives in the House voted for this bill. So one thing I wanted to mention is Tucker Carlson responded to remarks that Dan Crenshaw made to this reporter. So Tucker excoriated Crenshaw as a liar for falsely claiming that the U.S. intelligence community does not meddle in domestic news coverage. I mean, he's crazy. Tucker wrote on his Twitter, his ex, "This is Representative Dan Crenshaw as he walks out of the Capitol building voting for Joe Biden, voting to give Joe Biden the power to shut down news sites that dare to challenge him. Crenshaw tells reporter Liam Cosgrove that the U.S. intel agencies don't meddle in domestic news coverage, when, of course, we know that's
Operation Mockingbird.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
Susan
crazy.
Rice bill, at Netflix.
Yeah. So the bill would ban TikTok in the U.S. unless the company finds a buyer not connected to the Chinese Communist Party. Have you watched TikTok? There's nothing political on it. I mean,
it's not good.
No,
but it's certainly nothing that you can't find in other places.
Well, on Twitter or something like that, you know?
Twitter, YouTube Shorts, yeah.
Yeah, so Crenshaw pushed back against Carlson in an ex post, accusing him of lying for attention as usual. The substance of the TikTok ban also aside. So the substance of the TikTok ban aside, Crenshaw also remarked to reporter that intelligence services don't meddle in news coverage, which is demonstrably provable lie. So just look at the big three. Hunter Biden laptop coverage 2020, right? The Russia collusion hoax during the Trump's first term, or big tech's coordinated censorship of COVID and vaccine coverage. So
January 6th.
Yeah.
The Kennedy assassination, the lone gunman
theory. Yeah, you can go on and on. I'm talking about the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So we go back to, especially the Kennedy assassination. I mean, I could go through all of them. But other critics of the bill, such as Elon Musk and Representative Thomas Massie, Republican from Kentucky, argued that ambiguous language of the legislation makes it a Trojan horse that would grant the government the power to shut down any website it wants in the name of national security. Musk on Twitter X posted, "This law is not just about TikTok. It's about censorship and government control. If it were about TikTok, it would only cite foreign control," quote unquote, as the issue, but it does not. Massey stated, go ahead.
And forgive me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it just revealed last year that we had special back doors for the FBI and the NSA?
Yes.
Into social media and media,
yes,
for agents to tell them we want this to be silenced, we want this to be pushed.
Yes, it's nuts. It's beyond.
I mean, is Mr. Crenshaw? I'm sorry, a challenge mentally.
Yeah, I think they're bought out. I think that something's going on with them. They're all bought out. I mean, 90%
sold
of them. Yeah. And then Massey on Twitter, I'll finish with it. The so-called TikTok ban is a Trojan horse. The president will be given power to ban websites, not just apps. So that's a very important. That's a very important quote from his Twitter. And our country's being judged. I'll say it again. But I just want to give a word of encouragement. Here's a word of encouragement. All right. Where in God's word are we ever told to get so attached to this life? We are rather citizens of another kingdom and merely ambassadors now, meaning we don't truly take up residence here. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Mm-hmm. So praise God. Hallelujah. That's what's coming.
Amen. News blast time, Ken.
What's that?
News blast.
We're rocking. Okay, global cancer phenomenon. It's not just America. The UK and Japan and South Africa and Australia are among dozens of countries suffering mystery spike of all different kinds of tumors in young people. So that's crazy. So another news blast. Poland confirms NATO troops are in Ukraine. I guess the West wants a war desperately with Russia. So the Polish foreign minister came straight out and said, quote, NATO military personnel are already present in Ukraine. That's a crazy quote. Next news blast. Our whole legal system is just a political charade. Judge on the Trump case once worked under Fannie Willis. You know, this whole trial is just a comedy clown show. Our whole legal system has been weaponized by this administration. So next news blast. Michigan Secretary of State has some explaining to do. It was revealed that 53 of her 83 counties have more registered voters than eligible voting residents. And an additional 23 counties have a suspiciously high voter registration rate of 90%, which is far higher than the national average. And the last one, the last news blast is, what is Dylan Mulvaney looking at? What's he doing after post-Budweiser? And we have a video of that.
All right. If you have a very, very weak stomach.
Yeah. We ask you not to watch.
Please send your kids out of the room.
Yes.
Do not in any way hold us against. Don't hold this against us. But yes, here's what Dylan Mulvaney's up to.
There you go, guys. And we're not closing out with that. We're closing out with something much more positive. But just letting you know where he's gone since he almost destroyed Budweiser. Now Budweiser got a place with the UFC, and they're making a trial back. But he almost destroyed him.
Man, nothing peculiar about two men grappling on the ground after having Dylan Mulvaney be your spokesman.
Oh,
you have to laugh or else you'd cry. But I'm gonna end on a good note, because guess what? It's now time for the scripture of the week. Ephesians 2:19-21. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord.
Amen. Amen and amen.
As we close out, I would like to ask, continue to pray for Ken, his recovery.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Continue to pray for his doctors. Thank you for praying for Ken. I have a prayer request for me. In April, I will be heading to Jamaica. I plan to do a recording on gender roles in Jamaica and the church. Mm. And right now I am looking for a place to hold this talk, and I'm praying that people show up to it. So please pray for me that I find the right spot, and that the right people are drawn there. But most importantly, I just pray for all the evangelistic work we're going to be trying to do in a fellowship drive, basically in Jamaica. It's something that Moriel has not had there, that we're trying to do an outreach there. So please pray for me. It's quite a long flight, and I am in no means the best of health, as I'm sure you guys know, but I'm willing to do this and try my best to do a reasonable service to the Lord. So please pray for me. Please pray mostly for the believers there that need to hear the message and to learn about Moriel.
Amen. Amen and amen. And then I'm going to give you my defibrillator so you can take that for your heart. So it'll blast you. It's got 150 joules, and it'll blast you back into right status. So.
Come on, let me go. Let me go.
Let me go, Lord. Oh, man.
Dan, it's so good to see you, brother. God bless
you. Good to
see
you. Good to be
back.
Thank
you for everyone who's watching. Thank you for Twitter. It's been great to stream there. Next time, if you have a comment or you want to call us out on something, the chat's open. I didn't see any chats today, or else I would have brought them up to you, Ken. We're going to start making this. Ken's Corner is going to be a Twitter exclusive preview.
Yes. It's crazy. It's the free. It's the last freedom. You know, you post a comment on Instagram or post a comment on Facebook and they'll take it down. Mm-hmm. It's nuts. You can't even say anything slight, you know, and Twitter, not that I say anything bad, but it's just, I say some things on Instagram and they take it. It's like, this looks like, you know, other people who've been complained about, blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, so Twitter's the last, X is the last free speech bastion. Yes.
All right, Ken. Well, God bless you. Stay rested. Be praying for you, my friend. God bless you.
Amen.